Blog Talk Radio.
Down in Alabama, in Georgia, South Carolina.
hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in calm, patient turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
What your life can truly be, shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to this show about the state show with Booker Miss Tiki Williams. I am sitting in for the great rock tonight, and I do believe that our host is here, and our mic is open. I think that's 81558. That's the script.
It's like a...
Yes, this is our host.
Hi. Just want to let you know, we, and I don't know if it's my connection, but I can barely hear. It's very, very staticky. I don't know if I sound that way to you, but...
No, you sound nice and clear to me. Am I still sounding staticky?
Yeah, very staticky.
Okay, well, good thing you got the mic.
Better
now? No. All right, well, I tell you, you go ahead and you can take the mic while I try to figure out what's going on over here on my end. Your mic is up.
All right. Okay, well. Okay, sorry, I got disconnected.
Okay, it sounds like we're back. I still don't know if my mic is in it, but it will be on back.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining All About Real Estate with Tiki Williams. Tonight we have a very great topic I think everyone will enjoy. We're going to be talking about FICO, your credit score. So as everyone knows, that is very important in when you're looking to purchase your home or even looking to get any type of funding is your FICO score. So one thing we'll do is we'll first talk about the definition of FICO. What is that? So it is a credit score that was created by the Fair Isaac Corporation. And so majority of the lenders will use the FICO score in determining your credit worthiness. They look at your credit risk to determine whether or not they will extend credit to you. So I know when I was growing up, I always heard about my credit score, but never really paid great attention to it and truly did not understand. I'm sorry, and truly did not understand the value of the credit score. I'm sorry, is someone speaking? Okay. Well, so one of the things, you know, that after getting into real estate, I really started to, and kind of before, but once I really got into real estate, I truly started to understand the importance of credit, of your credit score, and how you can leverage that in helping to build your financial portfolio. You may have heard in the past that cash is king, but credit is power. And so in some situations, it could be reversed. But in this setting, in real estate, sometimes that credit will kind of trump that cash in some situations. So for the normal consumer who doesn't have like that $300,000 cash sitting around just to go and purchase a home, credit will be key in helping you to obtain home ownership or even your investment property. So we're going to kind of dig in and talk a little bit more about your FICO score. So when trying to become a homeowner, being able to leverage your credit is going to be imperative. A couple things that it can help you do. You know, it can help you purchase a home. And in return, after you purchase that home, you can borrow against the equity in the home to continue to generate income with an investment property. So very important to be able to have good credit. So I know a lot of people might think, well, what is good credit? Is good credit 500? Is it a 400? Is it a 600? Is it a 700? So the credit score starts from 300 all the way up unto 8. And so you definitely don't want to be in the threes. We don't want to be that low. 800, you are at the top of the echelon being at an 800 credit score. So we're going to talk about some steps on how we can help to increase the credit score, some things that you can improve on now, and also put a plan in place, you know, to help you, you know, create a better credit score and get you to where you want to be. So financially, you're able to leverage that. So, all right. So one of the first things I want to talk about is the types of ingredients that are in your credit score. So your credit score is made up into five key ingredients. One is payment history. Two is outstanding debt. Three is your credit history. And four is new credit. And five is your credit mix. So let's talk about your payment history. So your FICO score, they look at how you make your payments, and that is weighed at about 35% of your score. So they look at a few different things. They look at the type of accounts that you have and how you pay those accounts. So they look at the credit cards that you have, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. They look at your retail accounts, your Neiman Marcus, your Dillard's, your Macy's. And they also look at installment loans, which would be like car loans, also mortgage loans. And if you have any other type of finance company loans, if you have any short-term loans, they look at those too. So a great part of your FICO score is made up from your payment history. So it is very, very, very important that you make your payments on time. If you do, because life does happen, if you do have a late or missed payment, that can potentially drop you 50 to 100 points. And so, you know, if you were sitting in the 700 club, you know, that could drop you down to the 650 or to the 600 club, depending on how they weighed that payment. So it is very, very important that you're able to make your payments on time. If you can and you know that you can for whatever particular reason, try to make sure that you contact that lender or that credit card company to try to get an extension, because you don't want that late payment to be reported. Normally, they do report late payments after 30 days. You know, normally you'll get hit with your $25 or $30 late fee, but after that 30-day mark, that's when they normally report it to the credit bureau that you're late. And so that's something, again, you don't want to happen, but if it does, I mean, you're able to bounce back. Sometimes you can work with the credit card company or the lender to try to see if they'll remove it. It doesn't always happen, but it doesn't hurt to try. So But the key thing here is to try to make sure that you make your payments on time. Another big thing is like your public records. If you have bankruptcies or foreclosures or liens or judgments, those are, they also take a really big hit on your credit report. And so we'll talk about some ways later on how to help remedy your credit report if you do have any issues with it, some steps that you can take to try to help that. So the next one is outstanding debt. So they weigh that at about 30%. So they look at how much debt you currently have, you know, because one thing you don't want is a lot of debt and then you don't have the income to supplement that. So you don't want to be debt heavy and not income heavy. You want to make sure you're able to balance that out. So they look at about, they look at 30% of that. Again, that's a big chunk of what your credit score is made of. So they look at the amount owed on your account. They look at the different type of accounts, like we talked about just before, credit cards, loans, mortgages. They look at the type of credit that you have, and they look at the balance owed on that. And so they look at certain type of accounts, how you carry a balance. Now, it's different if you have a line of credit than versus if you have, you know, like your car loan. So lines of credit and car loans, are they look at those differently. They look at how you use the credit card or if it's a revolving credit card or if it's an installment loan. Installment loans, you know, would be, again, like your car note, your mortgage, if you took out some type of loan that you pay back monthly, that would be considered like your installment loan. So they look at 30% of that. So the key there is just making sure that you're not, that you don't have more debt than you have income and that you're able to manage. So they're looking to see, how do you manage your debt? You know, are you maxing out your credit cards? You know, they look at that. If you have $10,000 or $5,000 on a credit card, are you almost maxed out? You'll hear them talk about credit utilization and making sure that you keep, like, your credit cards under 30% of your credit limit, because they look at that and they see, okay, this person here knows how to manage their money. You know, even if you do, just say, for example, if you did have a card for $5,000 and just say you charged it up to $4,000, because say you took the family on a vacation and you took them to Disney World, we already know how easy that can happen. You can charge them $4,000 in a matter of a day dealing with them. As long as you're able to pay that back within that 30-day time span, it will not negatively hit you on your credit report. But if you allow that balance to roll over, you are now way over that 30% utilization rate. You're pretty much at 90%. And so you're almost three times what they want you to be. So understanding how to kind of play the credit card game is going to be crucial in helping you to increase your credit score. And so now we move into the, like I was just talking about, the credit utilization. You know what I'm saying? Making sure that you keep those credit cards under the 30%. Now, this doesn't apply to, like, student loans. They're looking at credit cards and revolving lines of credit. It doesn't apply to your mortgage. It doesn't apply to your car loan, but it does apply to those credit cards and revolving lines of credit. So, again, just understanding, you know, when you're using your credit, you want to use it wisely. You know, you just want to make sure that you're able to pay down that balance before the next month hits, so that when it does report, that it's reporting in a positive light. So that's very, very important. And so the next one will be your credit history list. How long have you had your credit? I know when I first started out trying to get credit, one of the things when I got denied, it would say, hey, you don't have any credit. You know, you don't have any credit history. And so I'm like, well, what do you mean? Well, they're looking at how long you had credit before they extend more credit to you. So the longer that you've had your credit, you're showing that you're able to manage your credit, you're able to pay your credit on time. And so the longer that you have your account, the better. So your credit history is about 15%, makes up about 15% of your credit score. So again, they look at how long you've had your credit cards established. They look at the age of those cards, how long that you've had each of them, and when you established them. So it's very important. You might hear people talking about, you know, not closing out credit cards. I would say this. When you're going to buy a home, don't close any credit cards at that point. It's imperative that you speak to your lender and so that they can look at your credit report and let you know if you need to do balance transfers or you know, close an account. But don't go and do that before you talk to a lender who can assess your credit, because that could negatively hurt your credit by closing a card, because then it takes away from the credit history length, and that's about 15% of the credit score. So you just want to be very strategic about these things before you go and make a change to one of your cards. And just, you know, just overall, if you speak to someone in credit repair, you know, they can also assist you. But definitely, if you're looking to buy a home, definitely talk with your lender. Like, don't make a decision to close a card or do a balance transfer without talking with them first, because they're going to let you know, okay, this is a good move to do now, or no, you really need to wait until we close on your home. So just make sure you take that takeaway there. And your next one that makes up about 10% of your credit score is new credit. So it's okay to go and get new credit. What you don't want to do is open up every charge card anytime you go into a store. Because as you see, they always give you these great promotions. Hey, if you open up a new card today, I'll give you 20% off. I'll give you 10% off. You know, again, just be wise. I know, I understand. I'm a shopper, so it's always exciting to me, you know, to be able to open up a new store card. But really, it's like, do we need it? Does my credit profile really need a new store card? You know, how is this going to benefit me? And so those are some key things that will help you determine if it's good to open up that store card or not. It's sometimes adding additional credit will decrease your debt-to-income ratio. And so it might be a good thing to go ahead and open up another card. But again, you just want to be able to assess your report. And if you don't know, you know, you can always talk to a lender. Like I said, they have great knowledge on what lenders look for when looking to extend credit, or just giving you knowledge, just firsthand knowledge, to help you build your credit as well. So, you know, one thing I will be doing is bringing some other great lenders on so we can talk more and more in depth about that. So new credit is a great thing. What you don't want to do is have a lot of inquiries, because sometimes that's a red flag to the lenders. Okay, like, they're searching. You know, they keep opening up cards and opening up cards. Do they have any financial situations coming about? You know, why are they opening up all these cards and applying to all of these places? Now, they don't look at that when you're looking to buy a home, because they do know that consumers mortgage shop. So that's fine. So if you do that in a certain time span, in about 30 days, it'll be multiple inquiries on your report, but it would only be considered as one hit. So it might drop you 1 or 2 points, not a biggie. For a car loan, you have about 2 weeks to do shopping, and it's considered one. But if you are going and opening up a lot of store cards, a lot of different credit cards, that doesn't apply to your store cards or credit cards, or different type of installment loans. It doesn't apply. It applies to, like, mortgages and car loans, because they know the consumer needs to shop for those, and sometimes we get the best rate, so they understand that. So opening up new credit is sometimes a great thing, and again, it's based on you know, your financial situation, if you feel that that is a good thing to do. Again, you don't want a whole lot of inquiries on your report because they stay on there for 3 years and then they drop off. So if you don't have to open up a new card, I say don't. You know, it's okay to have an inquiry here and there, but you don't want like 6 or 7 or 8 in a year. You know, it might be different if you're an investor because you might be loan shopping. Again, they see that and that's a little bit different. But, you know, when you open up a lot of store cards and credit cards and things of that nature, that might raise a red flag for them. So, all right. So our next one is called credit mix. So that's about 10%. So what they look at for that is the different types of credit. I know when I first started, you know, building my credit profile, I had like credit cards and that's it. That's all that I had. I didn't have anything else. So they do look at how you manage different types of credit, how you manage a credit card versus how you manage an installment payment, which is a fixed loan amount each month. You know, how do you handle your car note? So they look at that. So making sure that you're able to get different credit accounts is going to be helpful in helping to grow your credit score as well, because they can see, well, hey, she's able to manage this $5,000 credit card over here. She can keep that under 30% utilization. Hey, okay. She can make her car note on time every month. She's never been late. Okay. She also has a small loan over here, installment loan. Okay, that's a fixed payment too. She's able to manage that, no late payments. Okay. You know what? She's not too big of a risk. Okay, yeah, she's been where she's been living in the same place for the last few years. Okay, no evictions, no anything like that. Okay. You know, she's a good credit risk. And so being able to have different credit accounts, a credit mix, is going to be helpful too. That is 10%. Of your credit score, so it's imperative that you have that too. And over time, you're able to build that as well. You know, some easy things to get at first, you might have to go with maybe a secure credit card. You know, they may not extend you a card, but then you can move into an unsecured credit card. I know Navy Federal. If you have a Navy Federal account, or if you have served, or you have a family member that has served, Navy Federal, they give great points for having a relationship with them. So you will see Navy Federal, they give out nice credit lines to people, and you don't have to have 700 credit scores. You know, you could be in the sixes and get $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 credit card with them. So it just kind of depends on the banking institution that you use. But Navy Federal is one that if you're able to get in with them, I would say definitely start a great banking relationship with them. They offer some really, really great products. So I'm going to, I know I just said a lot here, and what I want to do is take a couple questions. See if anyone has any questions about this. I am, you know what, you are still very, very staticky. I don't know if anyone else or if it's just me. Oh, I can't hardly hear you at all. Yeah, I have someone else online, and they say it's static. So yeah, we can't hear you. Sorry, everyone, for the technical difficulties on tonight. You know, hey, technology, this type of stuff happens sometimes.
Entertainment.
Worldwide.
Network.
Network.
We on live.
We in your speakers.
And on your mind.
On your mind.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I'm on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vid Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, J Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. Yiddy.
All right, we tested the mic. We heard any better now?
Yes, yes. A lot better.
Oh, a lot better. Okay. I don't know what happened, but I had to go out. I called back in from the phone, so we're having problems with the connection with the switchboard on the inside. But it looks like we're all here now, and everyone could hear me, and I can hear you, and that's good. So that's the wonderful thing about doing live broadcasts.
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you think you've planned it, and all of a sudden the equipment, the Wi-Fi or something will be like, no, not right now. You need to take a breath. We will be with you in a minute. And so that's how I felt. So far, our queue is a little bare, I guess, because of our technical difficulties. So we only out. Our audience is our listening audience out in Radio Land, and then the ether, those that are listening via their devices, their phone, I mean, well, their iPads and laptops and things of that nature. But you've made, I was listening to you, and you made some really, really good points. And I heard you talk about the debt and the income, you know, which we know as DTI, the debt-to-income ratio. My question was, and I know this, could you share, like, with the listening audience what the numbers are on the debt-to-income ratio? And sometimes, do the debt-to-income ratio change after you get your mortgage?
Yes. So your debt-to-income ratio, anytime you add any credit or any more debt, yes, your debt-to-income ratio definitely will change. Because now you added an additional debt to it. So it will change, but you will see that your credit score will drop initially. But after you make several payments, you will see that starting to rise back up, even with your car. You know, when you go to get a new car or used car, you will see that over time as well. So you will see a decrease, but then you will start to see an increase once you're making those payments.
Right. So when I think about DTI, it brings me back to the crash some years ago. I think it was 2009, 2008, something like that, with the mortgage industry, and they had the predatory lending. You know, when normally the DTI ratios, I think it was like 36%. Before you have your mortgage, and normally they look at like maybe 40-41% after you get your mortgage, you have that increase. But there were banks giving people loans where their DTI before the loan was like 36, and then their DTI after the loan was in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. That's why so many people were upside down. People didn't truly qualify. Mm-hmm. And that's why now a lot, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago about the market. The market is different now because the lending requirements, people now are truly approved. They can really pay for their home. It's not like the 2008, 2009 when people were just, like you said, just letting pretty much any and everybody slide by who wanted a house could get one at the time. So, yeah, definitely a difference now.
Right. The other factor to that is the strange thing is that they let that happen because they was using that money to leverage stock options, which was really crazy. And, you know, it changed the stock to preferred stock. And so they had all of these high mortgages, and they watched the whole thing fall apart. But you're right. Now the qualification purposes, qualification requirements are a lot stringent than it was before. Someone with bad credit, what would be the best recommendation you would give for them as they were a first-time home buyer looking to purchase a property?
So I would say go through credit repair. You know, have somebody, a credit counselor, look at your credit to assess what is it that you need to take care of. Because you can get a loan. Matter of fact, FHA will go even below a 580, but you don't want to do that because your interest rate is going to be higher, your down payment is going to be higher. You know, right now, FHA will lend at a 580 credit score, still with 3.5% down as your down payment, but your interest rate is going to be a little bit higher. So I really would suggest working with credit repair and having someone to look at your credit to help you repair it so that you're in a better financial situation because, again, you know, the lender is going to look at, again, your debt to income and see they're even going to require you to take care of some things. You know, they're going to say, okay, I need for you to take care of X, Y, and Z, you know. So a good loan officer, you know, if they do have a client like that that does have bad credit, they will even help put them on a plan, a road to success, to be able to purchase a home and let them know these are some things that you need to take care of so that we can qualify you for a home. If you don't have a lender like that, it's time to move on. You don't want a lender that's going to come and say, I'm sorry, no, you just don't qualify, and that's all they tell you. No, you want a lender that's going to help educate you through that process and help put you on a plan to success to be able to have a home.
So,
and so that's
secure,
going to be important.
How secure are those companies that or services that advertise rapid rescore?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, you caught the gist of my question, so go ahead.
So lenders are able to do a rapid rescore. I would be more comfortable with the lender doing a rapid rescore. Now, there are some, I have met a couple companies, credit repair companies, that have truly been able to successfully help repair someone's credit. But I have also ran into quite a few companies that have not, and they've just taken people's money. So you're really going to have to do research, and I would say find somebody that just say, I don't know, a friend or family member who maybe went through this person or this company and see if they have been successful. Because there are a lot of companies out there that say that, hey, you know, we do X, Y, and Z, and I've had clients come to me like, yeah, I've been working with credit repair for a year and a half. It shouldn't take that long.
Right.
It shouldn't take that long. Yeah, I paid my monthly fee, and they send letters, and, Yeah, I've had one thing come off. Oh, okay. And how much you paid each month? You know. So you just really have to be careful, research that company, get testimonials, see if you can talk to people that have used them before you go sending your money to a stranger. You definitely want to make sure that you research that company, because a lot of companies out here, they're just taking people's money and
right.
they're not helping them at all. And they're right back in the same boat. Because if you're going to do that, you might as well work with a lender who can help you rapid rescore and let you know exactly what you need to take care of and work with them. And they'll tell you exactly, I need for you to take care of this light bill or this ComEd bill, or I need for you to pay this loan down to this amount. I need for you to take care of this. And that is what that rapid rescore will help you do. And so, again, you will find a lender, a credible lender that's able to help you with that. But also you can find a credible credit report company as well, but you're really going to have to do your research and be diligent and making sure that you do so.
Mm-hmm. And how hard is that? I mean, because, you know, there are a lot of people that are advertising that they can do this, they can do that, no money down, no this, no the other. Sometimes it's hard for a person, especially a first-time home buyer, to be able to sift through all of the stuff that, you know, that's happening out there, all of the different programs and what they can and cannot do. I know that there used to be a lot of credit repair agencies or so-called credit repair agencies that did absolutely nothing but take your money. And the
Absolutely.
Reality of it is a lot of what they do, you can do yourself. You can write the letters. Not only can you write the letters, you can look on your credit report and see those that don't have a permissible purpose for being on your credit report. And against the Fair Credit Reporting Act, where they can be fined or sued
mm-hmm.
by you. And I think it's $1,000 per infraction, and then I believe that each state matches that money. All right? So if you have a creditor that don't have a permissible purpose for being on your credit report, that's like $2,000. So there's, for a lot of people, there's money sitting right in their credit report already, but they don't know that it's there. They don't know how to get it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
I've seen people sue creditors for being on their report, right? And then taking the money and paying off the legitimate creditors.
Yes, I have heard of that too. And matter of fact, I have a guy who has made a business out of this, and I'm going to try to have him come on, and that is exactly what he does.
Mm.
He goes, and if there's something on there illegally, he has been successful in suing Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax.
Mm.
And so he's been very successful in that. So I'm definitely going to try to get him to come on and talk a little bit more about that.
Right.
I have also been in some different groups on Facebook that have talked about being able to clean up your credit, you know, and being able to write the letters and giving you the verbiage of what you need to say. So it is
mm-hmm.
something that you can do yourself.
Right.
I would say if you don't feel comfortable with that, I would say talk with your realtor, because we're normally the resource.
Mm-hmm.
So like me, I have a couple good companies that I've used for sure that I've used with my clients. And I'm like, okay, these companies are legit. We have been successful. We came in at a 530, and we ended up with a 670, you know, 70.
Mm.
So by the time we were done. And so
right. Now, was
I would
it expensive
say,
to do that?
No, actually, the company that I've used has been about $500. I've heard people paying up to $2,000. But this company that I've worked with, they charge about $500. And they have a really nice system where you're able to log in. They have a portal. You can log in, upload documents, get the status of what's going on. So, and they're based out of Georgia, and they've been, you know, my clients have been very successful with them.
You know, there was something else I heard of, and I know a couple of people have done it. I don't know how legal it is, but I do know that there's a few people that have gone this route where they have rented credit lines.
They
rented credit lines from people with good credit, with excellent credit, and been able to reestablish doing that.
Yes, I think that might be playing a little bit in the gray area. I don't know. I have heard about being.
Yeah, it sounds like a little close to the edge. That's why I said I'm not sure how legal it is, because it sounds a little close to the edge.
Yeah, so yeah, but no, people have done that. You know, I mean, you're able to kind of do it. You know, you can add someone to your credit card. You know, you're able to do that. But that buying, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've heard about buying trade lines and adding that trade line, adding it to your, even your business. I've heard of that, too. You can add it to your business and also being able to add trade lines to your personal as well. So, yes, I've heard of that.
Right. And I've heard of repair companies that can repair line by line, and they charge per line. So you go in and you decide which line you want them to repair, and whatever they do, they're just having it removed. So there are a lot of things out there that can be done. And I understand that they're coming up with new requirements, new reporting requirements. So now it's like you have to report or how a person, like, pay their telephone bill, their cell phone bill, which most people have and which most people do, and they pay it more time because they got to keep their phone on. So that is now going to be used to add to your credit worthiness.
Yes, you will find that with Experian called Boost. Mm-hmm. They call it Boost. And you can also add your rent as well. So that's another one. If you're able to do that as well.
So how much, like, when we're talking income and we're talking credit, is there a dollar amount basically that I need to bring in to determine how much of my property I could buy?
So it's going to be a couple things that come into play with that. And so again, your debt. You know, your debt is going to play a big part on how much money how much house you're able to buy. I mean, because you could take somebody with $65,000 and they can get about a 250, 260 house. You could take the same person who is, say, more debt heavy, and they're not able to get approved with nothing but maybe about a $200,000 home. Again, your debt is going to be very crucial in determining how much house you're able to buy. Your credit is going to be as important as well. And also, a lot of people don't know too, but your tax rate, that is going to be very important too, because you can be approved for 260, but the taxes would take you over the mark. So it's important that you work with your lender and your realtor, because your lender is going to tell you, you're approved for 260, and I need for you to stay within, just say, a 2.6 tax rate. If you go to 2.8, it's taking you over, you know, what you're approved for. So in the HOA fees that you have to pay, your insurance and things, all of that's wrapped up into that escrow account. And so working with your lender, they're going to tell you, okay, you're approved for 260. I need for you to stay within this tax rate. So, and also within, like, this HOA, these are the fees you need to stay within so that we can keep you at a 260 pre-approval rate. So it's going to be important that you're able to keep your debt down. Something that you don't want to do, don't go buy a car first if you're looking to buy a house in the next year. If you can, because sometimes life happens, you may not be able to wait, and I understand that, but if you're able to wait, go buy your house first, because, again, they're going to calculate that new car payment into your debt-to-income ratio, and that's going to potentially decrease how much house you can buy based on how much income you make. You know, if you make six figures and you have a car payment that's $400 or something, I mean, hey, you know, that's not going to affect you any. But if you just say you're making $70,000 and you want a house that's about $275 or $260 or something like that, going to get a car note at this point might decrease that, because it also depends if you have student loans, you know, what other debts you have out there. So if you're able to minimize and keep your debt low when you're going to buy a house, it's going to help you increase the amount of house you're able to purchase.
What is your recommendation? Do you recommend a young person, first-time home buyer, buy one family?
Oh, buy a single family? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. You can also, depending on...
What about a two or three, if you can get it to kind of like maybe use that additional income to be able to buy more of a house and maybe help towards the payment?
Absolutely. Don't rent the family. Don't rent the family and friends. I'm going to be really honest with you. But I definitely would, if they're able to afford that duplex or threeplex or fourplex, because they can stay on one side, because FHA will finance up to
four properties, four units,
absolutely. And so if they're able to do that, then I'll absolutely go. That's a great thing to do. I just wouldn't rent to friends or family.
Right. But, you know, I've often told people that that's what you can consider. You know, I understand when you're going out the first time and you want to buy a house and you have these ideals of, you know, of what your home is going to look like, the swimming pool in the back and the white picket fence and the dog and the two children running around and all that good stuff. And that's nice, but that may not be time for that just yet. You know, your first venture out, you may want to get, you know, a two or three family, because now you have additional income that can cut into that monthly payment that you would be normally making by yourself if you had a one family. It could very well
absolutely
be that the other two incomes could pay the whole mortgage and you live for free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then over time, depending on where you're at, you can pull the equity out of that two, three, or four family and go
mm-hmm.
buy another investment property if you choose to. Now,
right.
If you do this, if you wait 3 years, just say you stay in that multifamily 3 years, you can then go buy the house that you want. You can still use FHA. You're still considered a first-time home buyer, even if you don't use FHA. You're still considered a first-time home buyer. You still get those credits again after 3 years. So then you can go and, if you want to, you can move on and buy another multifamily, live in that for another three, and keep doing it and just cycle.
Right.
And you're
right.
Only paying 3.5% down instead of 20. Because, you know,
right.
When you go to pay for your investment property, they normally want 20% down.
Right.
But, hey, if you do that every 3 years, you're able to do 3.5%. I mean, you still have your mortgage insurance, but, I mean, hey.
Mm.
You just have to weigh the numbers out.
Right. Well, who's coming into your office these days? Are you getting first-time home buyers or are you getting investors? Who's coming to see you? What are they looking for?
So I am getting my first-time home buyers. I'm starting to get more and more investors. But definitely the market is for buyers, for first-time home buyers. COVID, I don't know what happened, but COVID turned this thing on upside down, and we are having buyers coming in, but we're also having investors. But, of course, investors around here, they're looking for anything under $200,000. That's their sweet spot.
Right.
They want something $200,000 or less, $250,000 or less, and probably about 2,000 square feet or less. You know, the smaller, the better for them.
So it would be fair to say that the average ABR that they're looking for is about 500 as they're picking it up at two?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they're looking at – they want to buy for about under 200,000. That's their sweet spot. over right. here, over here in Texas, of under 200,000, you know, but of course they don't want a lot of rehab if possible, because they definitely want to make sure that they keep that ARV where it needs to be. They definitely want to make sure that they're getting probably about 75,000 off of that ARV, you know, after, if more. Again, it also depends on what the repairs are, but they're looking at about 75,000. What I've been seeing, because they're looking to come in, fix and flip quickly, and
right.
get in. They want to get in and get out.
And so you're saying 75 is the average margin that they actually putting in their pocket once they've done once the smoke clear.
Some the ones I have met, yes. There have been others that they're fine with going under that. I know we don't want to go under 25,000. I mean, because at this point it's almost useless.
Right.
Not to say that it's not, but, you know, if you do all that work and you're getting like 15 or 20,000,
then
you
need
know,
to.
Especially if
you,
yeah.
You're
and,
not flipping
and,
deals.
You know,
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I remember Alan telling me one time, he was like, yeah, people aren't leaving any meat on the bone. I always thought about that.
Right.
He said, you have to leave meat on the bone. And so I'm like, yeah, because you never know. You might have multiple people in that investment. So, you know, if you're coming in and you're breaking even at about 20,000 and you have like three people to split that with, that's no money, you know.
Right.
So, but it makes it very difficult, though, for my first-time home buyers sometimes because they're in that sweet spot. So they're able to offer cash to the seller. So initially when I started, I said, cash is king, but credit is power. In this situation, cash is power because a seller is able to walk away from a deal in potentially 10 days instead of 45 days, you know.
Right. So he's subject
with
to take a little less because it's cash and in a short amount of time. If I have to wait, I want all my money.
Yeah, but I'm going to say in this market, these people are not taking less for cash. They're like, look, if my house is 200, you're giving me 200. So these sellers have become ruthless, like, no. Before, I would say absolutely. But now they're like, oh, I'll wait because I got people going to be it over and pay me anyway. So you only want to pay me 200. I got somebody over here that's going to pay me 250, and they're bringing $50,000 to the table. I'll wait 30 days. So, you know, we're seeing that as well. So it's very interesting, but it makes it difficult for a first-time home buyer right now if they are in that $200,000, especially on the low end of $200,000. It's hard because we have the investors coming in, and they're just snatching those houses up as quickly as they can get them on the market.
So what I hear, and we're coming up on the hour, we're about to take a break, and maybe we can talk more about just after the break, but that what's about to happen because of COVID and because of the moratoriums and things of that nature, not only are we about to get into a big foreclosure market, but big businesses, big industry, Fortune 500 companies are now preparing themselves to buy up huge lots of properties for rental purposes. And so what they're saying now from what I'm hearing is that their plan is to buy up like whole cities and just buy everything that's available for sale in the city. And just the big businesses will now control the real estate market. Have you heard any of that?
I have, and matter of fact, I've gotten some calls from investors. I've gotten several calls from investors saying, hey, I have an investor looking to buy 200 to 300 to 400 single-family homes. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have received those calls, and they've been from different companies because I would tell them, hey, well, shoot me an email. You know, if I run across anything, you know, I'll let you know. And so it's been from different companies. And so it's out there that is really happening. Because what's happening, too, is like a lot of people, I'm starting also to see here in Houston is that the market is slowing down some, but now there's a bidding war on the leasing side, on the rental home side, because people are like, you know what, I can't seem to buy a house. I'll go and rent one for a year and let the market cool down. But now it's starting to have on the leasing rental a bidding war now too. So, yeah, they know what they're doing. They see it already coming.
They see it already coming, so, right?
They see it coming, yeah. Yeah, they know exactly what they're doing.
We're at the top of the hour. We're about to take a commercial break. Call a friend, call a neighbor, let them know that Project Neil and All About Real Estate with Broker Miss Tiki Williams is on the air. Don't anybody go anywhere. Just call somebody and tell them to come on back right after the break.
Yeah. Oh. Entertainment. Worldwide. Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I signed on a payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D. It's
your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peace, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vid Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamster Knife.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, J Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Child.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr., and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is so seductive, live.com. Log on to soseductivelive.com. So Seductive Live has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to soseductivelive.com. I believe in fashion, so Seductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722. We live. live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to All About Real Estate Show with broker Mrs. Kiki Williams, and we've had a great conversation, and we're going to continue the conversation and maybe get some feedback from some of the callers that have called into the queue. But before we do that, we want to invite everybody to come on back tomorrow night at the same time. Every night, Project Neo is on the air with a different program, bringing you different information to help enhance your life. Tomorrow night, we will be on with Morrell Brown and the New Life organization. You want to be with her, the inspirational speaker. She has great guests on, so you don't want to miss that. Then on Thursday night, we have conversations, Neo Nation's weekly conversation with Joaquim Diaz, a young fella, dynamic individual, civil rights leader, protester, minister, young man that we've got to know when he was still incarcerated. He would call in from Rikers Island and just light up the lines, and it was great. And so now he's home. He's been home for a while, and he's running that show for us. And so we're glad to have him on the team. Then on Friday nights, on Friday, we have the Black Billionaire Network that is hosted by the one and only, the great Rev Ron Robinson. That's on Friday night. And then on Saturday nights with Greg Hall and the Reap More Network, going over, they explore a multitude of income opportunities that are available out there for each and every one to take advantage of. So we don't want to miss Saturday night. Sunday night's real special for me, because on Sunday night we have the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, local number 26, do their broadcast. And we want to encourage everyone to tune in to that broadcast, that local, as they share different things about the Federation, as we've just come out of our convention, and that we're excited about what the future is holding for us, and we're having a membership drive. And I encourage everybody that's on the air, that's listening to the sound of my voice, call in and get more information about the Federation. And then on Monday nights, we have Black Alice in Wonderland with Queen Amina, who is just a walking library, and she blessed us with all type of information, give us all type of insider information. If you want to know what's going on with the pandemic, you want to know what's going on with COVID, the vaccine, and all of these other things, you need to be tuned in on Monday night. So every night from 7 to 9, Project Neo is on the air, bringing you information, bringing you resources. And we've been doing this now going on, this is our fifth year with the radio show, spreading the word and making resources available to everyone that are participating. And so we're happy about that. All right, so we're going to get back to our program tonight. We got about 45 minutes left with All About Real Estate, the show with the broker, the wonderful Miss Tiki Williams. As she come back to the mic, let's give her a hand.
Well, hello and hello. Thank you, everyone, for tuning back in. And so thank you for tuning back in on the second half of this show, all about real estate. Super excited. All right, so we were talking about earlier credit scores and FICA and what FICA looks at and the five different credit mixes we need that make up our score. So I hope that you were able to glean some information off of that and able to help you have a better understanding of your credit. I would like to take some questions, Dr. Robinson, if anyone has any questions right now, and see if we can get any.
Well, if Dr. Robinson show up, I will be more than happy to ask him. Are there any questions? But since y'all stuck with Dr. Wimbo.
Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Wimbo. I'm sorry. My apologies.
We'll see what we got. We are listening. We got some people that are listening via their devices, and sometimes it's hard for them to cue in. I can always tell the code when somebody's listening via their laptop or via their iPad. But we're going to go out. We're going to try this. We're going to go to 469. 469. Get ready. 469-509. 469-509. Your mic is open. Welcome to the show with Ms. Tiki Williams. 469-509, are you with us? Can you hear us?
Yes. I'm here.
Greetings. Welcome to the show this evening. Do you have any questions or comments about Ms. Williams and, for her with the credit and those things that you need in order to purchase property?
I just want to comment her. She's doing an excellent job. I've been listening. I've been taking notes, actually. So I'm just waiting to see what this last 45 minutes is going to be. She seems like a very talented, and she knows what she's doing.
All right. Well, thank you. All right, so we're going to see. We got someone else here. They just came in over. They were in earlier. 815-515-558. Get ready. We're about to open your mic. 815-558. 815-558. Your mic is open. Welcome to All About Real Estate with Broker Ms. Tiki Williams.
Hi, I just started listening today. She is a very, she has helped me so much. I have learned so much from her. I just want to say she was a great, host. She's a great woman, and I'm so thankful for her.
Well, thank you.
Do we have any questions? Well, you've done such a good job. Everyone is so full. They're just ready to go out now and start getting their house. They don't have any questions, so they're thanking you. So that's a good thing.
All right. Well, let's keep this show rolling.
All right, let me see if we could get to someone that's calling in from their device. Your line is open. I don't know if you can hear. Sometimes you can. Welcome to the All About Real Estate Show with Broker Ms. Tiki Williams. Are you with us? All right. Okay, so that's with the device, and I know that sometimes they're hard to get in. I can tell from the 111111 codes. So as we were talking earlier about the credit and about what needs to be done for individuals that have credit risk, when you have a lower credit score, I know we talked about doing the rapid rescore and things of that nature. There was FHA, but there are other programs that will loan in the fives, the mid fives, the 600 FICOs that are more of like the conventional mortgages where they'll give you 80% LTV, let's say on the first loan, and then they'll give you, the same bank will give you a second for a little bit more. So it'll be maybe a 80% first loan and then a second mortgage for 10%. You know, that maybe the second mortgage has got a five-year balloon on it, whereas the first is amortized out for 30 years. Are you familiar with those programs like that?
you know, I have heard of them. I have not worked with any of those programs. I have worked with the Home Ready and Home Possible. Those are the conventional programs that are very similar to FHA, but they're on the conventional side.
Are they like FHA-like?
They are like FHA-like, but they're on the conventional. So they're called Home Ready and Home Possible. And instead of having a 3.5% down payment, you need a 3% down payment instead of 3.5.
Okay. What do you think about those companies like NACA? Are you familiar with NACA?
So, yeah, I think the NACA program, it could be a very good program, but be prepared to do some work with that program. I have met some people that have been successful in purchasing a home through NACA. They haven't had a down payment or closing costs. And, I mean, basically, they almost kind of, you know, went away, came from the table and not had much to pay at all using the actual program. So NACA is pretty much in all states. You know, you just have to find one that is within your area. You do have to work with a realtor that's a part of their program. So they do have a list of realtors who have went through their program, that know about their program, and so you have to work with their realtor. And so, you know, you do have their lending requirements and things and underwriting that you do go through. But, again, you're pretty much, you know, you're getting a property. You're not having to have a down payment. You don't have to have closing costs. So there are some income requirements. But, I mean, I think it's definitely something to look into. And so that, because at the end of the day, you want to know all your options and what's best for you.
Right.
And this might be a program that works very well for you. There is a housing counselor. Like I said, they also set you up, too, if you're not ready. They'll put you on a plan to success to be able to get a home as well. So they offer first-time home buyer education programs. And, matter of fact, it's part of their program that you do have to take
their
classes.
Right, I was about to say, it's a requirement, isn't it?
It's a requirement.
Now, because I understand, requirement. Don't they do something like when – they go out and they will purchase the house that you want. I think that's the way they do it. And then they will give you that mortgage to pay them. And so that's why you can, they have it set up with no down payment and no, you know, none of these things. And they also have a very, very interesting story about how they came about and how they put their program together, NACA. You know, they put together the NACA program to combat the traditional lenders that say that they're full of doo-doo and that they're ripping people off, and this is the way that it should be done.
Absolutely. So, like I said, I think it's a very good program and definitely a program that you should look into when looking to purchase your home. I say don't count it out. Don't discount it. Sometimes they have a bad rap sometimes. But if you're willing to put in the work and work their program will work for you. And, I mean, you can basically come out with a house without having to pay a down payment or closing cost. Like, that's major. I mean, that's major, you know. So definitely a program I would say look into. If you go to NACA.com, they have all the information you need there. And you'll be able to find in your area a NACA program in your area, and they have all the steps to home ownership. Like I said, it's a really nice program. I haven't had a client go through it yet, but I had clients go through something very similar through the city of Houston. They have a program kind of very similar to NACA, but NACA again, like I said, you know, they offer a very nice program where you pretty much come into the table with, hey, not much, not much at all.
Right.
So, and you're able to, you know, to get your house. Again, you know, making sure that you have your income, you have your verifiable income, you know, but they do want bank statements. You know, they do have to verify, you know, rental history. If you are self-employed, they look at 12-month bank statements. So even if you are self-employed, you're still able to use them. They just look at your bank statement.
Right.
So, you know, again, nice, you know, very nice program. And like with any other program, just work the program and the program will work for you.
So the state program that you guys have there in Texas, you said it's similar, but not exactly. I mean, so do the state program, I'm sure they do the training and they may have some down payment assistance and they may have, you know, closing costs or, you know, all allowable closing costs. We've done that when the seller pays the closing costs. How close is it to the NACA program? And this is something that everyone knows about. And here's another question. I know I'm throwing them back to back to back to back.
That's
but
okay.
Is it possible that someone that is on Section 8 can get a mortgage?
Yes, they can. Section 8 offers assistance in purchasing a home. So there is an actual program. There are certain lenders that they – because it's such a specialized program – certain lenders, not all lenders specialize in that program. So mm-hmm. they have lenders that specialize in that Section A program to help that client on Section A be able to purchase a home. And so, again, a very nice program. If you are on Section A, that is something you need to be talking to your counselor about and setting yourself up for success because they will help you purchase your home. And so, you know, a lot of people, I recently found out about that about a year ago, and I was so taken back because I never knew about that.
A lot of
never
people
knew
don't
about
know
it.
About that. A lot of
no,
people.
They don't.
And when you mention it to you, they look at you like you're crazy. Section 8, now I've had people say that to me. Section 8, like I'm stupid, you know, like I don't know what I'm talking about. Section 8 will buy me a house. I'm like, no.
Yes.
But they will give, they'll get you the mortgage like any other one.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't, and people that have been on Section 8, I've asked, they were like, what? I said, yeah, you need to go talk to your counselor. Talk to your housing
right.
counselor. Set yourself up so you're able to purchase a home. And so you don't have all of these things like I would, that down payment, that closing cost. They're able
right.
to really help set you up. And just like the city of Houston has a couple programs. They have a Harvey assistance program. You know, Harvey hit back in 2017.
Oh,
and so
the hurricane.
Yeah, Hurricane Harvey. So they have a program where they're offering up to $30,000 to help you purchase a home, which will take care of your down payment and closing costs. So you are required to take a first-time home buyer's class through them. Or through an accredited organization. Matter of fact, you could take one through NACA. They're one accredited as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they will help you. You don't have to use their lender. You can use your own lender, but your lender
mm-hmm.
will have to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose your own realtor, or you can get, like, I'm on their list, but you can choose your own realtor to work with that program. There are some income limitations to that program. So the more people in your household, basically, the better. So that's,
really?
That's the more houses, yeah. So you're able to get more money.
Are they counting the income from those other people that are in the house and using that
no,
to qualify?
No, they're counting the people. They look at the people because, really, if you have, like, two people in the household, like, you can't make any more than – I think, like, $27,000. Well, that's not a lot of money, especially if you're trying to go buy a house in Houston, then you're really not going to get a house, you know. Currently, the medium house in Houston to purchase is about, it went up to about $325,000.
Okay.
So the more people in your household, the more income you're able to have. So, which, you know, if you have a lot of little people under the age of 18, it could be beneficial to you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, or you have, you know, someone in the house that doesn't, you know, unable to work. Again, that could be beneficial to you as well. But, you know, still another nice program. It takes care of closing costs and down payment. The two biggest things people need to purchase a home. Those are your
two biggest things
costs
that stop people from buying homes.
I stop people from buying homes are those two major costs right there. And they are able to help. They have another program that offers $28,000, and this is with the county. And so the first one is with the city. The second one is with the county, with Harris County. Again, they have some limitation, some guidelines on limitation, some income limitations. Out here where I'm at in Montgomery County, we have another program very similar to Harris County. And, you know, you're able to purchase a new home up to $240,000 and an existing home up to, I believe, $215,000. In this area, it's doable. It's going to be a little difficult, but it's doable. So, you know, especially with the rising prices of the home. So I want to say 2 years ago, this would have been a great program. I have asked, are you guys going to increase the amount that a person can purchase for a home because of the increase of the prices? I'm like, you know, we have to be realistic to say a lot of these prices you're giving us, they really don't exist anymore. So that's up for discussion at that point. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that it's good to know for the listeners to know that although you're referring to the state of Texas, most states have a lot similar programs for homeowners, especially first-time homeowners. And so you can just, you know, go down to the city hall or call city hall or in whatever state you're in, go online and look it up. These programs are out there. Again, the most that they will have you to do is most of them, they just want you to sit through their classes and through their training. You know, sometimes it's a little, you know, 40-hour training, you know, so you got to come, you know, twice a week for a month or something like that until you get to the training, and then you're ready to go. So it is really easy. The thing that I think hold people back the most is the lack of knowledge and lack of understanding.
Absolutely.
That keeps them from moving forward to become property owners. You know, I remember years ago when I decided to do real estate, I was just sitting in the house looking at TV, and I was looking at the infomercial, and I'm about to reveal my age right now. But I was looking at a show, an infomercial by Carlton Sheets. Do you remember Carlton Sheets?
No.
Yeah, probably was before you were born. And I was just watching the show, and I said, you know what, I can do this. I can do that. You know, I can do that. And I went out and I started, believe it or not, I just started doing it. I bought my first house. I didn't get a mortgage. It was a rehab. I bought it at an auction from the city for $1,000. A three-family house in Bedford Stuyvesant. That I bought for $1,000.
Wow.
I was 20. I was 20 years old. I may have been 21. But I sold it like 3 months later for $25,000. So that was
a nice profit.
I flipped profit before they were calling it flipping, you know. I just knew that it was more than I could handle. So I sold it to a guy who was, you know, the handyman at the church. So, and that worked out. He got the house, and I got a bunch of brand new sneakers. So, there are always programming. You know, if you want to do something, sometimes you can just picture yourself doing it and think about it and focus on it. And, you know, the universe will reveal to you which direction, you know, to go in order to make it happen. One good thing is that we have these resources like Ms. Williams is sharing with us tonight that is worth millions of dollars. That you now have this information and you know what to do. So you know now about NACA. You know that there are programs that are out there that you really can, if you're a first-time home buyer, get with no money down, okay, and have the down payment covered. You know that now from listening to the program. You know now that if you're sitting in the house on Section 8 and paying $3 a month, you can take that $3 towards your own home because they will do the same thing for you. So you know that now from being able to come to these programs. And so it's not so much what you know, it's what you're going to do with it once you know.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Just because maybe one person you talk to may have told you no, that doesn't mean that that's the right answer. You know, go research, dig, talk to different people, talk to different realtors. You know, I want to say definitely use your resources because each state has down payment assistance programs. If you go there, if you don't do anything else except go there, they're going to give you a plethora of information of different resources. Just like Dr. Winburn just said, you know, check your city, check your state, check your county because they all have something different that they offer. And you know, sometimes even the cities, they have areas where, okay, they're trying to rebuild. They'll give you money to go ahead and take the house, and they will help you rehab the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're able to go in and say, hey, yeah, I'll take this house. They'll come in, and they'll rehab it for you. I know back home, they used to have, they called them lottery homes. You paid a dollar for a house, a dollar, $1.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they will go in and they would help you rehab the home. You know, you hear about Habitat, Humanity Homes for Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
That's another great program that, hey, if you don't mind putting in a little legwork, you're able to get a brand new house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city of Dallas and DFW, they have another great program where they go in to areas that are being regentrified. They will buy homes, they will work with you, help you get your credit together, and you have pretty much a brand new house. They rehab the entire house for you. I mean, so, you know, just make sure that you ask the questions, you know, go look at down payment assistance and you can start there. Look at the city, look at housing. If you don't do anything else, type in housing for the city of, and start there. And that will start to lead you on the track of where you can find a different resources and grants and things available in your area. So it's definitely some good things out there. So I do want to jump on a couple more things with this credit before we end for the night. So just that we can touch bases with understanding a good credit score and a great credit score and how FICO looks at the credit scores. I had pulled some information here not too long ago, and between 500 to 600 is what they consider a poor credit score. Between 601 to 660, they consider to be fair. Between 661 to 780, good, and 781 to 850 is excellent. Only about 20% of U.S. consumers have an 800 or better credit score. And so, and after that, about 40%, they have a good, when we're talking about fair, you know, they're also looking at about 13% there. And so these things are very doable in helping to increase, you know, your credit score. But just understanding kind of where you're at. Just because you're there now doesn't mean that you have to stay there. I remember when I started, I had a 525 credit score. I'm well over 700 now. And this was probably a couple years ago because I started to understand the importance of credit and how to leverage credit. So it is very, very doable for you to be at a 500 and a year or so later be up in the sevens or potentially the eight, depending on your credit, you know, your credit mix. Something I want to share with you, too, is the difference between having a good credit score and not having not so good of a credit score. So, for example, just say you had a house and just say you had a good credit score, 3%. So the monthly payment on on a $100,000 home, you would pay a monthly payment. This is just a this is just a principal and interest. It's not everything else. Your monthly payment would be $421.60. You would potentially over 30 years pay $51,000 in interest on this $100,000 house with a 30-year mortgage. Just say if you have that low credit score, maybe like a 580 or below, just say interest rate is 6%, your monthly payment would be about $599, almost $600 a month. But you would pay in interest over $115,000 in interest with having a low credit score. So as you can see, leveraging having a great credit score versus a low credit score, how much money that would save you, that would save you $64,000 and a little bit of change from that 3-6% interest rate over 30 years. And monthly, it would save you about $177.95. So, you know, even though you can get a home at a 580, you know, right now interest rates are not at 6%, but there are times where that can happen. But just understanding, like, hey, that difference between what 3% interest rate can get you on a monthly payment and over time, how much money it can actually save you. So if, even if you're at a 580 now, you know, if you're able to get that score up to a 620 in a few months, that could save you, you know, 1 or 2 points on the interest rate, which can be, you know, big for you in the long run. So just a just wanted to throw that out there, tidbit. I thought that was, when I looked that over, I was like, wow, I never looked at over time, you know, how much you could save in interest when you're looking at the different interest rates. So that's a big, you know, that's a big difference. That $64,000 is money for another investment property.
That could be a whole nother house. A whole nother house. I tell you something else that if I may, just to add to what you're saying, and that is when you make your monthly payments, if you look at your statement, your payment is probably broken up into two different parts. Part of it is principal, and part of it is interest. So let's say hypothetically your payment is $1,000 a month. If you look at your statement, it could very well look something like this, where $100 is going towards the principal and $900 is going towards the interest, what it costs you to buy that loan. And so you're sending your payment in every month, but you don't understand why the principal is not going down. The principal is not going down because most of the payment is allocated towards the interest, especially in the beginning of the loan. But there's a way to get around that. The way to get around that is in between payments, send in a payment and tell them you wanted to go directly towards the principal. And so what that's going to do is going to pay up, let's say $1,000, 10 mortgage payments, 10 principal payments. And it's going to save you 10 interest payments. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So what you have just saved by doing that is $9,000, just that one payment. It's a
guys, did you hear that bombshell he just dropped, that gem, that bombshell, Dr. Wimborne? I hope you guys grabbed onto that. I hope you grabbed onto that. Awesome.
Yeah, because if you do that, if you could do that, that will save you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on your mortgage payment just by doing that one thing. And you don't have to do it all the time. Just do it every now and then. But make sure you, when you send it in, you let them know, have this applied directly to the principal. So if you do that, so that you clearly understand, if you have made payment number one and your next payment is payment number two, and you tell them to take this $1,000 and have it applied directly to your principal, well, then your next payment is going to be payment number 12, and you've saved all of those $900 in between that you no longer have to pay.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good right there.
So hopefully, you know, try it and watch. You'll be like, oh, my God, look at that. This is
absolutely
something they don't teach you. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of the banking stuff, they know that, but they won't tell you that. Why? Because they lose their money if they teach you that.
Absolutely. And they want to make all the money. They don't want to share any with us. Mm-hmm. They want to keep it all to themselves.
That's what capitalism is all about.
That's it.
So if they can capitalize off of your ignorance, they will.
Absolutely. And they definitely have been doing that for years, and they continue to do it. And so that's right. Why I am so happy to be able to be connected with such great men like you, Dr. Winborn and Dr. Robinson, because you guys and everyone connected to this show, they dropped so many great gems, and you'll hear me say bombshells, because that's what we're getting. They're telling us what they don't want us to know. And so I hope that everyone is gleaning off this information, is able to receive this information and able to apply it to your own personal situation. And make sure to pass this information along to others. Don't be selfish. Make sure that you pass that olive branch and that knowledge to other people so that we can continue to grow our community. It's very, very important. So just a couple more things about our credit. If you are needing to look at your credit score, your credit report, I encourage you to look at your credit report often. It is not a ding if you look at your own credit report, but you want to make sure that the information on that report is accurate. You don't have anyone putting houses and cars in your name. You don't want any of that. But you can go. And once a year at annualcreditreport.com, you're able to get a copy of your credit report free each year. If you sign up with like Experian, you're able to look at your credit report when you get ready. Sometimes there's a small fee to do so. But you're also able to look at all three credit bureaus at one time as well. So something to look at. You definitely want to stay on top of that, making sure information is correct, and when it's not, working to get that taken care of and disputed. And like I said, you know, earlier when Dr. Winborn talked about being able to remove some of those negative things on your own. And so that is very true. You know, you can, hey, Google is everyone's best friend. So if you don't know, you can also Google information. They have groups on Facebook that you're able to tap into that will help you work through that process. And also, like I said, if you're not, then if you're looking for maybe credit repair, there are some good companies. I would say get with a trusted realtor, get with a trusted lender, and they'll let you know of some good companies that they've worked with that have helped their clients. So you won't be swindled or bamboozled out of your money if credit repair is a way that you need to go. So just wanted to drop that information for you. And also, if you're needing to connect with me, Tiki Williams. I'm on Facebook at Tiki Williams Realtor. I'm on Instagram as Tiki Williams Realtor. And my website is www.thetikirealestate.com. And so you're able to connect with me on pretty much all social media platforms. If you're needing to speak with me, text me. My number is 815-378-5101, and I will be more willing to help you. If I can't, I would definitely point you in the direction that you need to go. So I definitely want to make sure that I'm able to be a resource, if I can, to anyone. Even if you're not in the state of Texas, I have resources all over with different realtors and other people. So we'll make sure that we get you the help that you need.
Cool, wonderful, 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 wonderful. I was going to ask you that. What are your connections in other states? Can they call you if they live in, I don't know, Maryland or Virginia? And will you be able to assist them? I guess saying that is, I know that you're in the state of Texas. Are you reciprocated in any other states?
Unfortunately, I am not. I am working to get my license in a couple other states. Unfortunately, Texas does not play nice with others. So we don't have reciprocity. You know, Texas, they think they're their own country. So.
Well, yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that.
So I am looking to get licensed in a few other states because I have some people interested. They want to work with me. And I'm like, hey, you know, well, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. But unfortunately, I don't have reciprocity with other states. But I am looking to get licensed in Georgia, mm-hmm. Mississippi, and potentially back home in Illinois.
Okay.
Because I have, yeah, some potential ventures in those particular states. And so, but yeah, I'm definitely open to being licensed in different states. But I do have connections. That's one thing great about this business. And social media, I have been able to connect with some great men and women all over. So normally if I have business in another state, I have a realtor that I can connect with, which is awesome.
Well, that's good. You have some up over here in the New York metropolitan areas, New Jersey, Connecticut, like that?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yes,
cool.
I do.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, like always, you are always have been a blessing. You know, I be sneaking in and I be listening sometime. I know you don't know it, but I do. I be sneaking and I be listening and I be hearing some of the guests and you and Dr. Robinson doing your thing. I'm just happy to be able to sit in tonight for him while he take care of some other business and share with you and with the audience. And we're just grateful for all of the wealth of knowledge that you are sharing with us here. We want to remind everybody about our other shows each night. Come right back tomorrow night as we could be running out of time. Tomorrow night and the night after that and the night after that and the night after that right here on the Neo Nation. All right, we're about to be out. Ms. Williams, give us some closing remarks as we go out into and get ready for tomorrow.
All right. We want to make sure that we speak positivity and life into every situation that we encounter. Make sure that we keep God first. Understand that we need to be the lender and not the borrower. And know that home ownership is attainable. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not. If they do, send them my way and we can chat it out. So I thank each and every one of you guys for taking the time out to come and listen tonight. It has been a blessing. Thank you, Dr. Winburn. Thank you, even though Dr. Robinson, he's not here. Thank you for the opportunity, for allowing me to use your platform to come and speak about what I love and what I love to do. So blessings to everyone on tonight, and be blessed.
Peace and blessings. Good night, everybody. See you tomorrow night.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been out of control.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's got to get
better.
life to lose your money, be a fool and bet on sunny.
Clay comes out to me, listen, and listen starts to retreat. If listen goes back in his father, he'll end up in the ringside seat. Clay swings with his wealth, Clay swings with his right. Look at young Badger carry the fight. Listen, he's back, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time, and Clay loves the moon.
On my face, yeah, and I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me. I took out the world. I know God. I know the real God.
Wait a minute, Cassius.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it, you're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I took out the world.
Yeah. Well, after we get the bear, we will go after the hare.
Who's the hare?
The hare is the rabbit, Claude Patterson.
I'm singing my song.
If you like to lose your money, be a fool and bet on Sunday.
Clay comes out to meet Listen, and Listen starts to retreat. If Listen goes back in his father, he'll end up in the ringside seat. Clay swings with his wealth, Clay swings with his right. He'll be young cats carry the fight. Listen, he's backing, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time, and Clay knows the moon.
On my face, yeah. And I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me. I'm the world.
I'm the real God.
Hold it.
You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
I took up the world.
Well, after we get the bad, we will go after the hair.